Beach of Dreams is a collaboration between myself, the predominantly female and trans big band in Sydney led by Jessica Dunn called Sirens Big Band, and a quartet of Hindustani musicians. Our link to the Indian musicians is through the tabla player Bobby Singh, who I've been friends with and collaborating with for quite a long time. And the three Indian artists are Shubha Mudgal, extraordinary Hindustani vocalist, Anish Pradhan, who's a wonderful tabla player and is Bobby Singh's guru, and a fantastic harmonium player, Sudhir Nayak. Essentially, myself, Shubha and Anish collaborated to compose and create the musical material, and the motivation behind it was our collective sort of excitement and vision for music to be a celebration of intercultural dialogue and humanity. We all sort of share a belief in that and an excitement about the way that jazz and Indian music can work together to express that. The main similarity is that we use improvisation as a sort of core part of our musical practice. And I think that's the level on which we can really relate to each other. And it opens a lot of doors where everybody can be themselves while still working together harmoniously. And then I think the other aspect that has drawn a lot of jazz musicians to Indian music, including me, is the extraordinary depth of feeling that is present in the way that melody is expressed through raga. We don't do this in the same way in jazz, but it's something, you know, going back to John Coltrane, I suppose, and the other great musicians of the 1960s who started realizing that there was a way that we were searching for in jazz to express feeling through melody that Indian musicians are extraordinarily expert at.
Mm. Well, Coltrane was certainly well known for his interest in Indian music, so there's a great tradition right there.
That's right. I think he's been, you know, very influential on a lot of subsequent generations. Also, I think in the 1950s, you know, there were a number of trips by American groups to India by American jazz bands that were sponsored by the US government. They were part of cultural diplomacy programs. And one of those was by the Dave Brubeck Quartet, and his adventures in India and collaborations with Indian musicians also had a huge impact on the development of jazz, because it's even said that the groove for the very famous tune Take Five came from a jam session with some Goan musicians in Mumbai.
Interesting too, a lot of those jazz musicians of the 50s that you're talking about, or a number of them, converted to Islam.
That's right.
Another interesting factor that I don't think a lot of people realise.
Yes. And some of that, you know, may have been influenced by Indian music. Certainly Indian music influenced John Coltrane's spirituality to a large extent. And yes, definitely, a lot of African American musicians particularly did convert to Islam. This was the first song I wrote, and this that's part of Bridge of Dreams. I was in Mumbai, and I was lucky enough to be there on a Churchill Fellowship to look at how I could deepen ideas about collaborating between jazz musicians and Indian musicians. I woke up one morning and I'd had a very vivid dream. It was a dream about death. And in the dream, death was represented as a joyous and uplifting occasion where almost like a marriage. I woke up and I immediately wrote the melody for this composition. No sooner had I finished writing the song than I got an email from my husband, Tony Gorman, saying that a close friend of ours had passed away. And somehow that connection seemed very, very strong. I took the melody that I'd written to Shubha and Anish that morning, and almost immediately Shubha fitted some lyrics that she knew from Kabir's poetry to this melody. And the lyrics that she chose completely fitted with the song the image that I'd had of death being a marriage or a union with God. So it was quite extraordinary. I've called the song Deepening of the Red Sun, which doesn't relate to Kabir's text. That was just the name that I'd given to it, you know, with the idea of being of a sort of depth of experience and understanding coming with death. So after that, I really became quite interested in Kabir and in knowing more about why Shubha was interested in his poetry, because she has sung quite a lot of his poetry. Her guru, Kumar Gandhava, was also renowned, her musical guru, for singing Kabir. So that's sort of one important connection that she had with him. You know, Kabir was a 15th century mystic poet in India. There's some dispute about when his birth and death actually were, but it was, you know, sometime during that period. And he's become extremely important to a lot of people around the world. And I might actually read why. I have a message from Shubha about why she's attracted to his poetry. And she says, "For me, what is most important is that many of his verses are relevant even today. His fearless denouncing of communal violence and disharmony, his protest against the orthodoxy of religious rituals, and his overarching message of peace is as relevant today as it must have been centuries ago."